Welcome to Abergavenny Baptist Church, growing in faith and friendship.
Well, we're going to start with the Bible reading, which is from Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. And it's all about when they brought Jesus into the temple. And it was a dedication service, but it was far more than that, because there was this whole notion also of buying back the firstborn through sacrifice and through offering. Beginning at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was in Jerusalem a man called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I'm going to ask Catherine and Adrian to come up now, and we're going to sing something to you. It's a song that begins with one of my very unsuccessful attempts at gardening, but it moves on from that.
The flower faded suddenly, the leaves were overtaken by a blackness overnight, and nothing I could do.
The way I am, and not as I
If Jesus wore my flesh, then why can't I? Oh, I am tired of stringing everyone along. Oh, come on, you can't pretend anymore. You've got to reveal your weakness. God loves you for
my code to get into this now. It's the same as my birthday, the 3rd of March, and all my bank cards. Now, a few weeks ago, we were looking at Mary's song of praise to God, the Magnificat, "My soul doth glorify the Lord." And that's at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, even before this. It's the song of the world turned upside down by God. On the side of the poor, on the side of the excluded and the powerless. And I promised when I preached on that a couple of weeks ago that every time I preached here I'd continue in that vein, in that type of series. I was going to skip this passage about Simeon and Anna because it really belongs as the tail end of the Christmas story. And so it belongs at the beginning of next year. Really, and it's not part of the gospel proper, with the gospel's parade of disadvantaged losers shut out by the rulers. But I went to a conference on old age fairly recently, and I'm glad I did, because at that conference I met Simeon and Anna. And I realized at that conference that there's possibly no group in our society that is more powerless and excluded and written off than the elderly. These elderly people are often out of sight on your street or in some facility where they can be taken care of by specialists on the minimum wage. Even in church, older people can sometimes feel marginalized, expected to step aside so that others can come through. Of course, old age can bring a time of fulfillment, a time of bearing fruit. The Bible often portrays this or talks about this aspect of aging. It says that white hair is a crown of glory. Thank goodness. It talks about bearing fruit in old age, like trees planted by the water. You probably all know Psalm 92 in that vein. But unfortunately, when old age goes in another direction, it can make us fearful for ourselves in the future and upset for the person that we have loved another way. I'm sorry to have to say that that's the way it went for my own parents just a few years ago now. I sometimes wonder exactly when it was, because it was such a blur, but I feel that it must have been 2011. You know how it sometimes goes, a pleasant muddle, an absent-mindedness, becomes a return to chaos and confusion. A mild irritation at daily occurrences becomes an aggression, fueled by fear. A sense of completion, a sense of fulfillment of the identity, becomes a feeling of loss of self. And a sense of community, a sense of connection, becomes a sense of isolation. And yes, exclusion to the margins. Well, I told you a few weeks ago that this opening of Luke's Gospel is very Old Testament in its feel, down to the very language that is used, that is sometimes a little bit archaic. But I told you that just as the Holy Spirit moved on the waters to bring about the world and all of its wonders, to bring them into existence, so at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, the Holy Spirit moves to bring new life into people like the elderly Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and of course, the Virgin Mary. And here in the temple, in the reading that we shared this morning, the Holy Spirit is active for Simeon and Anna. And Luke is at great pains to make that crystal clear. Now, they didn't have the benefit of capital letters or bold type or italics or underlining in those days. But short of using all of that, Luke in his gospel couldn't possibly do more than he does to make us understand that this is Holy Spirit territory. It's true that Anna isn't described in quite the same way as Simeon is. For her, they are the classic disciplines of Judaism: prayer, fasting, presence in the temple. But she is included in the passage, which is all about the actions and activity of the Holy Spirit. And so here we have Simeon and Anna at the opening of the gospel, an old man and an old woman with their longing and the Spirit. Now, at that seminar I went to, at that conference, I went to a seminar, and what you had to do, it might seem a little bit morbid, but it's worth doing from time to time, I assure you. You had to go around the circle and say how you'd like to die. Sorry about that. I haven't spoiled the mood, have I? It's a valid and very relevant question. And so as they went around the circle, people were talking about beautiful music, beautiful artworks, beautiful flowers, to be surrounded by family and friends, And there I was sitting there putting a similar answer together, involving Tangled Up in Blue by Bob Dylan. But then, in the circle, a professor of gerontology, specialist in old age, began to speak about what he called biographical pain. Biographical pain. And the scales fell from my eyes. Because what you really want when you come to the end of your life isn't beautiful music, but resolution of things that are not resolved. Fulfillment of things that are not fulfilled. And that's exactly why the Holy Spirit leads Simeon and Anna into the temple to experience fulfillment and resolution. Because as they meet with the baby Jesus, any chaos or confusion from a life of fruitless waiting is resolved by the meaning of the coming of the Messiah. Any irritation or hurt at having lived so long and seen so little is resolved by the coming of the Messiah. And Simeon and Anna, old people who have lost connection with the society, become representatives of those who have lived so long that they have lived to see the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. And so a service of dedication, but more than a service of dedication, a service also of redemption, becomes an event prophetic of the world's saving. Light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. And the Spirit has done that. And Simeon is able to pronounce these very powerful words. And I say powerful because as a minister, it's often given to me, or sometimes given to me, to be present at the death of someone. And there's such a strength in these words as you pronounce them. They're a permission to leave. They're an assurance of welcome with God. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. How strange it is to see sometimes how the loved one departs on those words. The Spirit does that. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, so often we focus so much on the flash-bang-wallop aspect of the Holy Spirit, the exteriorization of our worship, the gifts such as we understand them, that we forget two things. First, that the Spirit is the author of every good thing in your Christian life. Not some good things. Every good thing in your Christian life. Gifts and fruits. Faith, hope, and love. And second, that the Spirit still wants to go on bringing a sense of fulfillment and completion right to the end of our lives. The path of the righteous goes one of my favourite verses from the Proverbs. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, growing ever brighter till the full light of day. What about the exclusion? What about the loss of power, the frailty, the poverty? Well, I'm glad I went to my conference, because I heard many very thought-provoking things. Not least this. You will know, and Mike referred to this earlier on, that when Jesus wanted to talk about the kingdom of God, he put a child in the midst. If you want the kingdom, be powerless. A chance of service. Now, it was suggested at the conference, and don't beat me up for being non-biblical on this point, because it wasn't my point, but it struck me very forcibly. If Jesus was here in the same way today, and of course he is present by his Spirit, but if Jesus was here in the same way, would he place an elderly person in the midst and say, if you want the kingdom, be like that? Now, I've been mulling this over for some time. I found it to be one of those seed thoughts that just keeps on growing. As you may know, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but I'm what they call a Vatican watcher. And I watched the final years of Pope John Paul II, and I listened as people clamoured for him to stand down. Look, he should resign. He's pointless. He's hopeless. He's hunched over. He's leaning over in his wheelchair. It's undignified. Let him off the hook. Put him out of his misery. I didn't agree, but I couldn't put my finger on why. But now I think I know. Because the elderly person, in all the frailty, can be a strong image of dependence on God and a chance of service. This too is part of God's way with us. And it seems to me that the Pope, John Paul II, was showing that even that phase of life can be included in the work of the Holy Spirit with us. But for all that to be included, we do need, each of us, the Spirit to be active in our lives. Of course, the Spirit is active in the strength, the vibrancy of the young nurse, the young teacher, the young minister or missionary striding the world with the gospel, the young social worker, the young politician. But in the dark temple, at the end of two long lives that had seen so little, the Spirit brought fulfillment in Christ. And the Spirit today can do that in the house where no one goes, in the care home, in the hospital room, in the church. Let's pray together. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that we have shared this morning, the joy, the expectation of the dedication service for Tabitha. But, Lord, we pray that just as you will be living and active in the life of that young family and in the life of every young person here, we pray that you would continue to be living and active in all of our lives till the end, till you pronounce over each of us those precious words, "Depart in peace." We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about Abergavenny Baptist Church, please visit our website at abergavennybaptist.co.uk.